Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. Jesus often taught in parables. A parable is a short story that teaches a universal truth by inviting the listener to insert themselves into the parable, to see themselves as one of the characters in the story. And so, parables are always very straightforward. They aren't mystical or magical. They don't describe enchanted beanstalks, big bad talking wolves, or little pigs that build houses out of straw or sticks or bricks. Instead, parables use real-life events, circumstances and characters that we can all relate to, such as rich men and thieves, birds and flowers, lost sheep and precious pearls, or as we heard this morning, a father and his two sons. Our gospel passage today is known to all of us as the parable of the prodigal son, but I don't think Jesus would have given it that title, because he begins the story by introducing us to the cast of characters, saying that a certain man had two sons. What we call the parable of the prodigal son is not just a story about a young, wayward son. According to Jesus, this story is first and foremost about a certain man, a man who had not one, but two sons. As we consider this parable today, I would suggest that we disregard the familiar title, because that title may limit our understanding by leading us to focus on the prodigal. Today, let's simply listen to the story as Jesus presents it to us. A story of a father's perfect love and the very different way that his sons respond to his most gracious gift. Now, as you know, the father in this story represents God. And the sons, well, they both possess qualities that we can all relate to. Therefore, as Jesus shares this parable, I believe he's saying to all of us, if you want to know what God is like, if you want to know what your life is like, if you want to know what you are like, then listen to this story. Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And so we begin with the younger son, who approaches his loving father with such a bold request. I wonder, can you imagine approaching your parents that way? Mom, Dad, I noticed you're not dead yet, but I'd like my share now. You know, it sounds ridiculous, but in the context of this parable, it makes perfect sense. I mean, consider for a minute whose resources you're living on right now. Who has given you everything you have? And how often have you asked God, our Father, for your share? We ask, we receive, and all too often, we choose to waste that which he so freely gives. Now, perhaps the only thing more shocking than the fact that this son has the nerve to ask his father for his portion of the inheritance is the fact that the father agrees. The father divides his estate among his two sons, gives the younger everything he asks, and then just lets him leave. As I think about this, it strikes me that there are times when God does the same thing with us. He gives us exactly what we want to show us that the fulfillment of our selfish desires will never bring true joy or lasting happiness. Like ignorant children, we spend our days searching for that perfect job or car or house or big bank account, only to realize in the end that to gain the world is to lose your soul. The prodigal got exactly what he wanted, but he lost everything that had any real value. And that was the beginning of his fall. to claim what he believed was his entitlement and to separate himself from his Father. When we rebel against God's perfect will, sometimes he says, "All right, your will be done." At the end of the day, by selfishly claiming what we believe is ours and separating ourselves from him, we often bring upon ourselves the most severe form of punishment. And that truth is revealed as the story continues. Jesus tells us, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine." And so the younger son has hit rock bottom. It may not sound all that repulsive to us, but for a Jew to have a job feeding pigs is to no longer be a Jew. This young man was a true son of his loving father. But by claiming what he thought was his and entering into this hell of separation from his father, he learned a universal truth that Jesus teaches us in this parable. The prodigal learned that sin promises freedom, but it only brings slavery. Sin promises success, but it only brings failure. Sin promises life, but the wages of sin is death. Now, at this point in the story, Scripture tells us that by the grace of God, the prodigal came to his senses. He said to himself, "How many servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." In this speech, the son rehearses there are no demands, no complaining, no blaming his mistakes on somebody else, just an honest, humble confession. "I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." It's difficult and painful to face the guilt, the shame, and the terrible effects of our sin. How we've hurt those we love and grieved the heart of God. But my friends, humble repentance, that is the road that leads us home. This process of conviction allows the son to gain some true perspective, because as he thinks back on home, he realizes his father is loving and generous, and that serving him is perfect freedom. He wants to be subject to the authority of his father, even as a hired servant, because now he can see to selfishly claim what we believe is ours is to be lost. And to surrender our rights is to be found. Or as Jesus said, whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So now is the moment of truth. The prodigal has his speech prepared, and it's time to go home. So he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. If you're anything like me, and years of your life are marred with sin and failure, don't miss the good news found in those words. Because truthfully, the only way to see anyone when they are yet a great way off is to be looking for them. In this verse, Jesus paints a vivid picture of the Father. This picture of God sitting on his front porch day after day, waiting, wondering, will today be the day that my child returns? Day after day, it isn't. But God is the God of hope. So he waits and he watches and he waits and he watches. And then one day, his child appears on the horizon. At that moment, the moment he sees him, Jesus tells us, God ran. The father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son has his speech prepared, but he doesn't get a chance to finish it before the father breaks in and says to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The prodigal's words have moved from, Father, give me what is mine, to instead, make me one of your own. And the father does. And so we see that when we stop selfishly claiming what we believe is ours, when we come to our senses and acknowledge the truth that God is good, he is loving, he is generous, and that taking up our cross and serving him is perfect freedom, well, it's then that we are truly in the presence of God, because we're there for the right reasons, not because we feel like we have to be, but because we want to be. And that's when the party truly begins. That's the story of God's perfect love for every prodigal son or daughter. And the common title of this parable may lead us to believe that we can just stop there, but Jesus didn't. Now, he finished this parable by telling us of the father's perfect love for the older son, a son that is every bit as lost as the younger once was, though it's perhaps a little more difficult to recognize it, because the older son, he stayed at home. He obeyed the rules. But he was completely self-centered and self-righteous. He considered himself to be the perfect son and based the opinion of himself not on his love for his father, but on his own outward conformity to his father's rules. Remember his words, these many years have I served you, and I have not broken one of your commandments. Outwardly, he was obeying his father, but inwardly, he too was far from home. He was so focused on his own acts of righteousness and on the sin of his brother that he was completely unable to recognize the grace and love and generosity of his father. His younger brother had just been changed, healed, transformed, and restored, but the older brother didn't care. It's clear that his preference would have been for his brother to just stay lost, to never return home. Remember him angrily saying to his father, but as soon as this thy son was come, this thy son, he won't even call his brother. In this exchange of words, we see that the older son has no real, genuine love or respect for his father. His self-righteous adherence to his father's rules has become like an idol to him, something to be worshipped and a source of pride. And this pride has led him to a point in his life where, as crazy as it sounds, he actually wants to be judged by his father, because he believes he's earned all that his father has freely given. As this parable concludes, we see that this story is not primarily about the prodigal or his brother, but is instead a story about God, our Father, and the perfect way he loves his imperfect children. At different times in this story, each of these sons completely, we may even say infinitely, underestimates the depth of their father's love. And I believe that's the reason why Jesus told this story. He knew that we would do likewise. He knew that there would be moments in our lives when we would be like the prodigal, claiming what we believe is ours, walking away from our Father. Thinking that our plan for our life is better than the plans God has for us. And then recognizing the depth of our fall, we may feel unworthy to be called his son. Jesus knew that there would be times in our lives when we would be like the older brother, feeling prideful of what we do for God, and perhaps feeling more worthy of his love than our neighbor. So, to every prodigal child, son or daughter, to every one of us, through this parable, simple, straightforward story, Jesus says, come home. Come home. Your Father has been waiting. His arms are open wide, and all that he has is yours. And my friends, forget the fatted calf. For the feast that God has prepared for those who repent and return to him is Holy Communion. The body of his Son given for you. The blood of our Lord and God shed for you. No one can earn such a priceless gift. Not one of us deserves it. We are not worthy. Yet the steadfast love of God endures forever. For the Father faithfully and continually loves us, not for what we've done, but for who we are. Beloved sons and daughters of God. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.